What's going on, guys? Welcome back. You thought Red Hulk was busted. What about U.S. Agent? Yeah, he's probably going to suck, but we're going to talk about where we think he is going to work. But more importantly, there's one archetype that's really going to shine with the new card. We're also going to be talking about the OTA update, the return of Angela, the end of Thanos, Crossbones finally got buffed. And with that, what other cards are terrible in Snap and it's their time to get the OTA like Captain America? We're lastly going to be ending on what a lot of people wanted to see from the Snapchat, and that's me and Alex talking about our sleeper picks at every cost. Cards that people aren't playing, but they absolutely should be playing more of. We're going to be talking about that all today and more on this episode of the Snapchat. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Alex Kocher on this fine Monday in April. And is there any reason that you are looking like Cyclops from Wish.com?
My man, I'm going to be staring at the sun today. I cannot wait for the lunar eclipse. Guys, I'm going to be staring. I usually just stare at the sun for fun without the glasses on. But I've been told that wearing the glasses makes the experience much more enjoyable.
You look wasted because the eyes are like this. So it's like up a little bit. You should. The challenge would be to put those on the entire episode. I'm going to be gone because you're up there in Canada, right? So you're like lining up right with the eclipse.
Yeah, we're right in like the totality range, as they like to say. Sorry, I can't see anything. I'm not even sure where my camera is. These things are so dark. I mean, I guess they're designed for staring.
That's the
at the
point,
sun.
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm actually right in the range of like the total eclipse. And like, so our, like where I live is starting to like balloon with a lot of people like coming in and getting hotels and stuff so they can see. And apparently there's like all this shenanigans with like hotels, like canceling people's bookings to like quadruple the charges later and stuff like that. There's like all this drama about like the eclipse right now where I'm from. So, but honestly, I think it's incredible. And I still think that like, it's a miraculous, one of those like universal, I don't want to say mysteries, like universal miracles that like our moon and the sun and like the exact math of like where we are in space and time, they line up ever so perfectly. I don't know. The whole thing's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, first I didn't realize people travel for that and I'd love it. Guys, if you're listening, touch grass today. Step outside to look at the sun while you listen the whole time. I will be traveling as well, but I'm not traveling for the eclipse. Guys, you're going to see not a lot of content this week on my channel. I'm taking my first vacation, man, ever since not only having my son, but also just being a content creator. I've not taken like a true day. I've left, but that was for like work trips. I'm going on a cruise, man. But anyway, do you want to keep those on? You can rock them. You want to take a second to put the
honestly,
other glasses
on? I need to take these off. I can't see anything. I can almost now see my own eyes reflected in them, which is really weird. I can see myself blinking. I got to take these off. And ironically, they're actually not from the lunar eclipse. I've had these for 12 years. These are from the transit of Venus. It says right here on them somewhere. It's from the transit of Venus that occurred on June 5th, 2012.
See, this is my only issue with the eclipse thing. Can I say, I feel like they're always like, this is the first one in 50 years or 100 years, or this one was back in 2017. And like, this is it. But there's another, it's this time. How many of these are we going to have? And how many? I feel like it's the glasses companies that are making it. It's all a scam.
So you think that like the eclipses are being fabricated by these like dollar store glass companies?
I mean, not really, but kind of the like, it's the last time in 100 years, but it could happen 7 years later, 8 years later.
Whoa, are you suggesting that the optics companies are creating clickbait content regarding eclipses?
They are. They'd make great YouTubers, huh?
Yeah, man.
This eclipse is busted.
Top 10 eclipses of the week.
I think we should put the top 10 eclipses of all time. Dude, that'd get a lot of views. I feel like, should we talk about Marvel Snap now? Is it that time of the podcast?
Yeah, I think it's about time we talk about
Marvel. Okay, well, let's get right to it, buddy. We got ourselves I would say a pretty good week because we had the OTA. We'll be talking about that here today. But we also have got the balance patch. Every now and then, like the eclipse, things line up and we just get a bang, bang, bang. And we've got ourselves the balance patch coming up. We've got ourselves we need the patch because we got ourselves a more lackluster card instead of getting hyped about it. We're talking about why maybe he won't suck or will he just suck? And we're coming off a week of two crazy, fun, good cards, buddy. But that's what we're doing over here. What are we talking about on your side of the Snapchat?
Cozy, on my side of the Snapchat, we'll be talking about Baron Zemo and Red Hulk, giving our reviews and our impressions after this first week of trials. We'll also be talking about the new villains of Marvel Snap, which are the cards that are tilting people out the most. And as always, we'll also be doing our Snapchat mailbag.
Well, let's go and let's hop into it, man. We got a lot to break down today, especially with the OTA review and the patch and whatnot. U.S. Agent. U.S. Agent. I want to start with this. Obviously, he's not a great, great card. Now, I guess I'll read it out. He's a 2-cost, 3-power card. For those that don't know, is his ability. Now, take a second here, guys. Collect yourselves. The overpowered ongoing 4, 5, and 6-cost cards here have -3 power. And my friend, I want to start with this. He might be bad, but I think the crime here is he better than Captain America? And how screwed is that?
If he's better than Captain America, everything's gone to SHIT. Like, there's no way that he's actually better than Cap, because at least Cap, you control the effect. But at the same time, he is a 2-cost. He's a 2-3, so technically a premium stat line for the cost. Cap is underneath the premium stat line. Oh, man, I hate the question. I don't want to answer.
Well, we're going to talk about that on your second subject. I just thought it would be a fun way to kick it out. The character that's not supposed to be capped is better than Cap. Like, for as good as they do with Marvel synergy and lore, they're the good god. But let's go to talk about him. First of all, guys, we have the spotlight caches. It's going to be Mirage, who I think a lot of people forget is in the game. And then we've got Jeffrey, the baby Landshark. Obviously, Jeff is still a good card. I'll pass it to you. I think last week you gave him a one. You didn't even give him a 1.5, just a 1-star. Are we at the same spot now?
Yeah, I give him a 1-star. I think that sticks. Yeah. Like, I've been trying to, like, listen, for this conversation, I had, like, the amount of medical grade hopium, as Cozy said last week, I've been huffing is intense. And I tried to come up with, like, lines and stuff like that. Like, I want to be wrong. For the record, every time I'm like, yo, this is a 1-star card, I want to be wrong, because that means we got a card that's more engaging than expected. That's a good thing, okay? But I don't think I'm wrong here. I don't think this is a good card. And there's a couple of different reasons. One, you can use it offensively to pull cards like a Magneto under Shang-Chi, by the way, which is kind of interesting. Is that cool? I don't know. Like, if you're ramping something out that you don't want to get punched out by Shang-Chi, like a Magneto would be safe.
Okay.
Is that anything, Cozy? Am I really huffing now?
I don't think you're going to be wildly off here with a 1-star rating. I wanted to spin today. I think we could all agree, guys, this is going to be your safe week. I think for not even almost everybody, because he's a series 5 on top of that. I would say, unless you're creating content for Marvel Snap or you're the biggest U.S. agent fan of all time, which is all like one of you guys, which what are you doing with your life? Just skip the card. Skip the card. Jeff, he's going to come again. He has a million variants. You can skip the card safely. What we're going to try to do today, though, is talk about what you can use him in and where he might shine in the future. Because first of all, he might get a buff because all cards do. I almost broke while we're both almost cussing because there's no other way. Crack doesn't do it almost for this guy.
No, we
got to go with the full shit. But anyway, where he might shine. So first of all, man, we didn't get a lot of heat from last episode of like, how dare you? He's such a good card. Most people agree he's not great. I don't know what to give him. I want to say probably just a 1-star as well, but I'm like, could I convince myself of a 2-star? Like, what's a 2-star card in your head? Give me one off the rip.
Like an example of a 2-star card?
Yeah.
Iron Fist.
Yeah. What is Iron Heart?
Oh, Iron Heart's better than that because of the combo potential. Iron Heart has 5-star moments.
Okay.
But Iron Fist never has 5-star moments.
Is Hercules a 2-star card?
Oh, now it is with the buff, probably, yeah.
Okay. So maybe this is like, could this be Hercules level? Maybe. So this
Hercules
is,
was terrible.
Yeah, I know. And he got the fastest buff. Maybe this will come right around with it too. But either way, let's go to talk about where I do see this thing, fitting in. I think it was a 2-2, which was going to be nice because you could have like some at least Cerebro 2 synergy, I guess, because that makes sense. You got a lot of low cost cards. That's kind of where it was going to have its best role. Then they just gave everything +1 power from that patch. Don't really know why. I think if you could get this thing to work, or if you want to buy this card, first of all, we talked about it last time, Iron Man Tribunal. It is going to be a counter to that if anything gets too crazy, or just Iron Man. I think if Iron Man ever got out of control, like, he's a really good way to just, nip that in the bud. But dude, I think I've been playing a deck a lot again, the Return of Angela, which we'll talk about on the next subject. But man, I've been playing Sarah, the old classic Sarah again. This could, because clearly he is not he's a turn 6 card, right? He's a turn 6 card without priority, essentially. Like, it's just bad. I mean, you don't really want to play him all that much. But I do see him having some former use in that Sarah list that has, like, Lizard, Luke Cage, and this guy right here. Because you could swing him to be like a 1-6.
I'm in shambles. You said the only line I had.
That's the main thing? Okay.
That's the only thing I had, man. I'm in complete shambles now. But no, you are right. Like, honestly, because with Sarah, he goes down to a 1-cost. At that point, the board is somewhat established. You're able to somewhat predict where they're likely to play. And so maybe, just maybe, you can find a spot for him. That is the only real thing. So I'm glad you bring it up because I think you're correct.
I mean, truly, and it's, I don't even think it's that copium because you're only playing Sarah as your five, right? For the most part, you're only playing Sarah. So long as you don't play Sarah where they played their five drop that same turn, then you definitely have at the minimum a 1-6, which is killer. We're going to take that. That's the Maximus play. Awesome. Potentially 1-9. You could even go crazier and potentially even more than that if they got a lot of four cut. So I do see him in a Sarah list, which happens to be on the rise right now because of Angela. I could see him working in that. Lizard has always been great in those decks. He's only 2-5. And then you have the Luke Cage in there as well, potentially, if you want that little bit of, you know, safety and padding. So I do think there's something, at least in that regard. And you've got the countering. I don't know. I don't know. And you know what else I like in Luke Cage? I almost made a video on it. I went a different route with it. The old Sarah Shadow list, too. They're harder, but you have Shadow King in there who's just a monster at the moment in Snap. But then you have the Luke Cage as the added protection, right? You have the Luke Cage, if you know, Shadow King, your Angela, you're safe. You're going to be okay there. I think there's going to be something there, bud. And so maybe that's his only use, yeah?
You know, it's funny how you mentioned Lizard, right? Because this was a card I was thinking about a lot. Lizard used to be one of the absolute top cards in Marvel Snap. Repeatedly played nonstop. Second inner called the nerf to Lizard one of the most inconsequential changes they've ever made.
Yeah.
And don't you remember that patch note? And we laughed about it on the Snapchat. It killed Lizard. It killed Lizard to the point you really only play him in Sauron decks and you only play him with Luke Cage. And so I was thinking about Lizard and I was thinking about US Agent because I did think that, like, okay, maybe we find some Luke Cage action here, of course, right? Because you could theoretically do like Luke Cage, obviously, with Man Thing and do some other debuffs based stuff. And then I was thinking to myself, you know what? Technically, if he hits one card, he's a 2-6, right? That's actually pretty decent stats. But isn't it interesting that reading this card, it doesn't feel like that's enough, considering how high impact a lot of the twos are. Think about what Angela's doing right now. I'd rather have Angela than US Agent. Plus, it's in your hands.
Yeah, but I think if you play him on that last drop, right, and you play him alongside, and I think about this turn, you're playing with Maximus, you play him with, you know, throw in a couple of the other two drops, Lizard, so right now we're at, what, 11 power for two energy. You play him down with the potential to be a 1-9, like a true potential to be a 1-9. Two cards is not out of the question, man, not even close. He actually might super excel in those decks. Like, I truly, no copium. We talked about how bad he is. And still, that's why I guess I'll give him the 2-star, because I'll give a card a 2-star like Hercules if they work in something, at least one thing. But then we don't want to give it any higher than that, because then what happens? That's the only place you can play it, and there's not a lot of room for design there. The more we look at these 2-drops that are getting better and better, and we can go ahead and pull them up now, but the more we look at some of these 2-drops, the more this kind of makes sense, right? You can even get Gladiator in there. We've seen that before. But yeah, we've got some higher statted 2-cost cards now. I don't know. Maybe US Agent does find his home. It's going to be the only place that I see him. I also think, Alex, tell me this though. Okay, and I don't know if this is going to be in the Sarah build. I guess it would have to be. But you could also theoretically pair this guy up with Goose, right? So you have a Goose lane, and then you're having that lane do its thing. You don't put him in the Goose lane, but you know they can't put the 6-cost cards, 4 or 5 in there. So then you have a bit better of an idea of where to play him.
Wow, good shout out. I actually didn't think of Goose. Bringing up our favorite, is it a Flurkin? Is that what it's called, a Flurkin?
The Flurkin, yeah, the Flurkin. I think, I mean, this is the only card that you could control where they put stuff. So I guess you could almost just do Storm as well. I guess you could really create a space where they have to play in a certain lane. At that point, you're probably committing too much. So I think you'd have to go with one or the other. But I think Goose with like an Ant-Man lane, it could cook up a little bit.
Okay, that's actually pretty interesting. That's what you're saying is basically restrict where they can play their 4, 5s, and 6s, forcing them into a location that allows you to get maximum effect off of the US Agent. I do like that. That's pretty cool. I like that. And you could theoretically Goose and Storm on curve. Turn 4, you can even do something as simple as like a JJ in the Storm location.
Well, and what are we trying to do in Sarah decks too? We're not trying to put, like, you're catching up last, like you're doing things later on, right? And so it's like, I don't know. I feel like you think Shang-Chi's still going to be in there, but maybe you just go the Shadow King route instead. And maybe you just go like Shadow and Rogue, something like that, right? You avoid Enchantress and Shang. You go Shadow and Rogue. And then, yeah, you've got Goose. And then you're just kind of waiting to play Sarah down. Now, the problem with those decks is you have to have an alternative if you don't get Sarah. Like, it could really, you know, hurt if you don't get her. But I see a world. I do see a world where this will make sense.
I had this other thought, too, like talking about synergistic cards. And, like, it's a shame because it doesn't quite get all the way there. But, like, you could make the argument that maybe even, like, Magneto could be interesting because at least it buffs half of the cards that Magneto might pull. But then again, it's like, okay, if you're going to be doing that, should you not be playing Kraven? Should you not be playing Kingpin? Should you not be playing something else? So, like, it has that factor. Another thing I want to mention, too, is while we're talking about synergistic cards, is it is an ongoing. And we actually lack a lot of, like, inexpensive ongoing cards. And every time we add an ongoing inexpensive card, it's a low-key buff to Spectrum. Because Spectrum's 2-plus power that comes across the board disproportionately benefits smaller cards. Because Ant-Man gets +2, and Namor still gets +2. Mm-hmm. So the more smaller cards you put on the board, the more impactful, in theory, Spectrum's buff is, because you're hitting more pieces at once.
And keep in mind Luke Cage, right? He's ongoing. So then, bam, you're fine there. You can then just kind of go the route you want to go with. And then you have the, you know, as we see in all competitive decks now, you have the two win conditions per se. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a place there. And I also think he's a unique kind of release valve, as you like to say, against things like Valkyrie. Completely kills her. Like, he definitely, you know, gets rid of the three on her side or on the Valkyrie. Dr. Doom, just in general, you're going to hit one. One of those is going to be right. You're going to be taking him down at least to what? A 6-12, which is, I mean, hey, I don't know. The more we talk about it, have you convinced yourself to go to 2, or are you more in the 1.5 or 1 range here?
I still feel like he's not going to be like a meta penetrating card. Like, I just don't think he's going to be like a card that people are going to be clamoring for, or like, you know, resenting that they didn't pick up or anything. I think it'll need a buff. I can see this going to 2-4 before, like, you know, that Colleen Wing style where you're like, you know, that's actually pretty decent stats. And then, like, you start to think about it. The thing that really holds down my willingness to go higher than 1 or 2, and I'm gonna stay at 1. That's what I said. I'm gonna stay there. Is I kind of went through my head. I did this practice of, okay, what kind of meta decks right now really care about this kind of card? I'll tell you right now, Red Hulk don't care. Right, Red Hulk do not care about -3 power. Does like Discard care? Like, does Apocalypse care? No. Does Dracula care? Yeah, not really. What about Destroy? Does Destroy ever care about these negative debuffs? Like, when is Death being really impacted by this? Right, like it's one of those things where, like, I kept going through, like, okay, well, like, Deadpool doesn't care, Venom doesn't care. Okay, that doesn't solve that issue. I just didn't see how, like, the way the meta is right now. And hey, everything can change on Tuesday. Right, everything could change on Tuesday. But as of right now, I don't see the answer. I don't know why this card, I don't know why the card exists, but I don't know what answer it's providing in the meta.
The only thing I can think of there is Sarah, because if you look at the Sarah list is what we said, because, like, yeah, you talk about those, okay, but then Shadow King answers those decks. Venom's done, all right? Death is tougher, but, you know, completely, okay, Red Hulk, man, you hit him with 2 energy, that's all it takes, and you hit him with a Shadow King followed by this guy. You put that Red Hulk from a 23 plus 30 power card down to an 8 power card, like that.
Yeah, but then you accidentally float energy and it pops up by 4 anyway.
Yeah, dude, if you're floating energy on a Sarah deck, then you're doing something wrong. But yeah, I mean, maybe, yeah, I don't know, but yeah. I like playing devil's advocate at times, right, as you do, and looking at the, okay, where does it work? I agree. This card's not going to be that great, especially most of these cards, they don't care, because if you don't have a Shadow King, you're done. If that's your own game plan, you're done. And really my point to why I don't think it works is, like, we like Man-Thing. He's fun. He's cool. It's cool to say that we have a Man-Thing deck every now and then. But ultimately, when he came out, what was the biggest thing we found out? Well, he's great. He's cool. But if you don't get Luke Cage in your draw, he's too risky. And we just don't like risky plays. That's why Titania, like, risky just doesn't go with Snap. People even looked at Nico and said, is she too risky? And she has branded nothing but upside at the time, right? But that's my issue. We've seen these give and take cards, and unless it's something like Gladiator, which until he was even a 3-8, people were still like, it's pretty risky, you know? That's my problem. I feel like the risky cards, the Guardians of the Galaxy, him, Man-Thing, they really need to be overstatted to make up for what that risk is, you know?
Yeah, there's a lack of risk and reward, right? Yeah. Like, you kind of lack that. Now, there is one thing that I'm really hoping for US Agent. And again, A lot can change coming up with this patch. Hopefully, US Agent, this has got to be the opportunity for Captain America rework. This has to be the opportunity. Like, it has to be the moment where they're like, we're releasing US Agent. We need to look at Cap. We got a patch, same day. We got to do it.
We're going to flip-flop it a little bit instead of OTA review and then the worst cards left. Let's just go right into that. The worst cards left, right? So essentially, I want you to give me your top three. Like, we just saw our boy Crossbones. He finally did it. He finally transcended up to a 410. Beautiful thing. He's not a 4A, he's a 410. Kind of sucks for the, you know, what I liked about him, the Shang-Chi thing. But besides that, it's like, hey, awesome. We finally got a card that has risen up at value that was a dead card in a meme for a long time, right? For those that saw the video, the Avengers, he was a key part of that deck, and he's cut from the team. He's cut from the team now. He's too good. Let's talk about the other cards now, because there's not too many left, but I would say give me like your top three, and we can both start with Cap, because I think at this point, right, Alex, what else is there to say? Spider-Man, he got his thing. They even said, like, you know, they even addressed, like, Spider-Man's an iconic card, right? Like, he's an iconic card. What are we waiting for at this point? If he doesn't get buffed this Tuesday, I just don't know, like, what we're waiting for to bring Cap justice. Why is Crossbones, why are these other cards getting their time in the sun and we don't have Steve Rogers?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And, like, I think that if they were just going to do, a one-point power buff, they'd have done it already. I think they're probably looking at doing something a little different. Because, honestly, this ongoing effect is not bad. It deserves to be in Marvel Snap on some card. Maybe it's just not Captain America, or maybe it just needs to be something a little different. You know what I mean?
But I feel like we've been saying that for so long. Like, if they're going to do it, it's going to be something. In fact, I can tell you for sure we've been saying that for at least like a year. Like, if they're going to do it, and we talked about the shield thing, we talked about all the cool things they can do with it, I just feel like it's a miss. Like, I just feel like I don't understand at this point. If US Agent is better than the real Cap, it's just bad. It's just, there's a flavor miss there by a mile. And I think, like, he's both of our number ones, no?
Yeah, no, 100%. He has to be. I mean, I have one that's a little higher for me personally than Cap. Do you want me to get into it? Because this is, I got some words to say.
Let's go to three and then go up. We'll save it for one. Save your one. I can tell it's an Alex choice. If you know, they have like the dev pick cards now. The Alex choice cards have their own thing. Okay, number three. What is the third, Mike? One of the most cards that suck that deserve to be good.
All right, this is a bit of a reach because like it's not completely terrible, but I have memories of what this card used to be. I want to take a moment to talk about Werewolf by Night.
Oh,
because okay, I feel like pick. This is a really awesome card that does something really unique in Marvel Snap that just fell off the face of the earth. Cozy, when was the last time you saw Werewolf by Night?
Dude, does he have five cost now? What the hell does he even
exactly.
cost?
Exactly. He's a four yeah, cost, yeah. Right? Like, but really, like, this is one of the coolest cards in Snap that has just disappeared. Has it just fallen out of flavor? Like, is it not? I think it needs something.
Yeah, I think what this might be able to get, it was a little much at the time. Like, November, December, this thing was ridiculous. And people were just doing like the Annihilus package with this. But I feel like just as they brought back Captain Marvel and Angela, because the power has settled in a little bit, they could do that here as well a little bit, especially because of just the other tweaks that they've made around. Yeah, I think something should change with him. I do think they should bring him back in some capacity, even if it's like a full like rework on how he does gain that power, whatever it is. Like, what a cool card, man. Like, I love that he could move around and he had like a lot. It's funny, something as simple as Angela is such a cool card, and I think Werewolf by Night's kind of the same. It's just a fun, unique thing, and it's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and the other thing about it too is like they changed Beast significantly, right? Beast got nerfed. It's no longer like a permanent kind of discount. It's a next turn discount, right? Remember? And so that actually has a really negative impact on the Werewolf by Night style decks because they used to really take advantage of the Beasts and the Falcons and playing the things for free over and over and over again. The other thing I was thinking about is if you're playing this type of balanced Werewolf type deck, this is an iconic card for that archetype. And like sometimes you need a card to be just slightly good for that archetype. Yeah. The way Cyclops is really good for Evo. Like if you just make like Cyclops not great, then that whole deck kind of feels like it loses identity a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And so with Werewolf by Night, they made it so mid that whole deck archetype lost its identity and this card became completely forgotten. That's why I wanted to talk about it today.
Yeah, that's dude, I like that. And I, you know what, maybe this will fill the void of the one that you were going to talk about because we'll stay in the four cost because now the Crossbones fixed up. When I was drafting for the Avengers, man, I was on four and I'm like, oh man, most of these have use, most of them, right? Like even something like Tuma, you can say that. We've brought it up, brought her up before. Yeah, I think this is the time we bring up White Queen. I think White Queen
is my number two as well.
Okay, so it's your number two. All right, I'll let you get that to two. I'll go to my other pick here on the four slot. This was a card that I think is kind of in the same area as Werewolf. I don't think it's as bad as people think, but it could be better. Remember for that brief period, we had the 4-7 Stegron?
Was with that?
Right. And I don't know if like there are cards like Rhino that I think just should be like a 3-4. Like, you know, just gave it a little bit of extra boost and then, it makes a bit more sense. Stegron, I don't know if he's just a PowerPoint up. I think that might be fine. Maybe you give him some diversification from the other ones that kind of do this and you do like move the highest enemy power card. Then he's amazing. He's much better, right? Or move the lowest. At least we know what's going on here a bit. Stegron, though, was like the shining star of that deck. He can really do some good. I mean, he can truly clog and throw your opponent off. If you don't have priority and there's an empty lane, like, you know you're going to win most of the time. If they're only playing one card, like Red Hulk, whatever that might be. I think he's close, like Werewolf by Night, but I think he does need a little bit of love. And I think Stegron is a card that people like to play that he just sucks.
He's understated for an ability that's underwhelming.
Yeah,
is exactly what it is. It's just that simple, right? An ability that's a little underwhelming needs the stats to make it worth playing, and he just doesn't have that, right? And it's similar to what like is happening with White Queen. Like White Queen used to be, remember during beta, the 4-6 stat line of White Queen almost felt good to play. But we've added so many 4 drops that just like call Obsidian. Like think about it. It's not even close. And why play White Queen when you can just play Loki and copy their whole deck?
White Queen was like in like the leader control deck. She was in that. And I'm not saying all the builds, but she was just a great on curve play. And yeah, that 4-6 felt fantastic. But at this point, I'll take an Iron Lad, get the same stats, and then have a chance to just win the game. You know, she's not going to win you the game. And maybe it's an effect a little bit of like people know decks more. They don't need to copy the highest card, whatever it is. But do you just give her the Mirage +2 on their highest card? Like, what do you do here?
I think she just needs more power, honestly. But it's funny you mention that because, like, we play so much Snap that it's come to a point where, like, I, in Conquest or even in a regular game, I can almost with, like, 95% certainty guess the deck and the deck makeup of my opponent based off, like, the first card they play. Like, almost, you know what I mean? Like, you almost know right off the bat. So you're right. I know they have Null. Like, you know what I mean? I know that they have, you know, Magneto, or I know they have Doom, or I know that, like, you know those things. So, like, copying the card, the scouting doesn't help that much.
What if she was a 5 cost? Okay. Give her a little bit more power. She steals, and I think it has to be 5 for this to make sense for the risk. She steals from their hand their highest cost card.
That's awesome.
Isn't that freaking awesome?
Like a 5-7 to start, 5-7, 5-8?
Like a 5-7, and you're gambling a little bit because they could have nothing, right? But if you know you're playing a destroy deck and you're like, dude, they've got that Null. They have that Null. You play her down. She's a little understated, and you just take that card right from them. And, dude, that'd be such a fun card to play, too.
That'd actually be cracked at 5-7. That's probably like a 5-4.
It's a little overstated. 5-4?
Even less, because like you get to play their card probably.
Yeah, but it's a risk, dude, because like think about it. You don't know if they have it. They could have Dumpster in their hand. Maybe the stats aren't perfect, but I think that ability is quite fitting for what she could do and would be strong and would be different than what this is.
I like the flavor. Like, no question. Okay. I like where you're at.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. So she's your number two. My number two, again, I was looking at a lot of them, and I don't know where this lands on your list, but again, I think people are just riding the Copium train, and he's been on many thumbnails in the Snapchat before. This is another, I think we're at the point where he's out of the 2-cost slot, right? I think he can leave that slot and like give him the Adam Warlock. I mean, not like, don't please God, don't make him like Adam Warlock is now, but like put him to 5-cost and let's really experiment with this guy. Even if his ability was the exact freaking same, but he just was beefier, I'm good with it.
He should be a 1-3. Make him a 1-3. Same ability.
Okay. Yeah, but that doesn't feel like Colossus to me. Like, what if he was like a 5? What's a power number for 5?
Like 5-8's like your baseline, right?
5-8, but it can't be destroyed, which it usually couldn't anyway. Moved or power reduced? That's pretty sweet.
So we're nerfing Cannonball by association?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And it's Colossus. I don't think people are going to complain too much about it. I don't know. I think this could definitely, this is one on my list on the iconic feature. He's iconic. He's just an iconic card. He deserves to be a lot better than he is. And it's a shame that he was even drafted to the worst cards in Snapdeck. I hate it. I hate it. I can't stand it. I can't stand it almost as much as I already know what your number one's going to be. Like, I have a gut feeling. Okay.
Do you know that Colossus is the brother of Magic?
Hey, look at you. Man, you've become a little Marvel butterfly. I feel like when we started, you would have been like, did you know that Colossus is an X-Men? And now look at...
Did you know that I didn't realize that War Machine and Iron Man were two different people for like the first 6 months of Marvel Snap?
Oh boy. What do you mean? Did you not watch the movies at all?
No, I'm recently catching up with the movies, man. I was like, who the hell is this Gray? I thought it was just the original Iron Man suit in gray. Do you know the first Iron Man? How he's like with... Like, he's learning how to fly and he's going across his garage. I thought that was War Machine. He just called it War Machine because I don't know why.
Oh my God. A lot of people like, you know, what keeps you in love with? Like, I'm just a Marvel fan. So I think like that's part of the excitement for me. Speaking of, dude, did you see Iron Man in that new game coming out soon? I think it's the alpha, the Marvel Rivals.
Yeah, the game looks pretty cool, actually, doesn't it?
Dude, it is my two loves, right? So like, you take Marvel and you take Overwatch, which I have as one of my favorite games of all time. And you're putting it together. There's a couple of things that I'm like, we'll have to see how it works out ultimately. But it's an alpha, and they've got a lot of chances to really make. Dude, I'm pumped. I'm definitely down to play.
Yeah. Oh, I'm 100% down to play. Like, we have to play. And the other thing about it though is like, hey, when I played Overwatch, I was a Mercy main. I liked being the one that allowed the good players to be good. That's okay. What I want to do. I want to be the support specialist. I feel so rewarded doing that. Even in like MOBAs, I played support classes like Dota 2. I'm a support player. In Heroes of the Storm, I was a support player. I'm always about letting the stars shine. And I feel like if this game can allow me to do that, I'm going to love it because I'm all in on like the lore. I'm all in on the characters.
I mean, it's the perfect concept. And how cool if like you're a support character, you can be like that in the Marvel world is really cool. And I hope he's not, but like, let's say Doctor Strange, like all of a sudden you're a support. That's Doctor Strange. Like really cool. When I was doing these hero games a ton, I was either like, oh man, I love being the prime DPS, like putting in the sweat, being like, I'll take the heat or the glory, right? Either one or the role that nobody wanted to play, which was tank a lot. I always liked that. But like, dude, Colossus tank over here, Magneto being a dude. It's just the makeup of it is probably going to be the next game I cover, if I had a guess.
Buddy, that sounds perfect. Perfect. We have to. Are we doing the Marvel Rivals cast?
Oh, dude. Yeah, we'll have to. Hey, comment down below. What do we call the next podcast of the... Dude, I think we could do it, man. We could talk about zoo animals on that, too. And then every now and then, I guess, give our take on that.
Bring up the zoo animals all the time. Hey, Marvel, the actual official Marvel Snap Twitter tweeted our thing about the elephant.
The zoo, I know, I saw that. I'm like, oh my gosh. So speaking of like the roster is pretty deft on that game. Like there's a lot to it. But like, dude, what character would you want to play as the most in that type of a game?
Magic.
She's there. Magic. She's there.
Yeah, I know she's there. I saw it. I got hyped up because, like, listen, by the way, this sounds like an ad read. I swear it's not. We're just actually excited. I've been playing I keep forgetting the name, the one with the card, Midnight Suns. I've been playing Midnight Suns. Yeah. Like, it's been months and months. Like, that's how little I get to play games. Magic's my favorite character in that game by far. And so, like, I've totally started to like fall in love with Magic, the story, Limbo, Mephisto, that whole thing. I'm trying to like find the comics. I'm reading comics about the Runaways because of Nico and everything. I'm all in. And so, yeah, I would 100% love to play some Magic in there. I'm not even sure she's a support though.
I don't know the role. I haven't looked in enough. I'm sure they'll change it by the alpha. Dude, what I think they did good, which I wish Snap would have done, is like Bruce Banner is separate from the Hulk, or he's the same character and then you build up to it. Or like Loki can just clone other people. Like, dude, that kind of stuff, the flavor is perfect. I think if they did Wolverine, really, like if they made Wolverine kind of like Genji, I'm in like that. Or even like Moon Knight, man. Like, we don't get to play with Moon Knight in this game. Like, I think there's some really cool chances for them to make some stupid cool, you know, they've got the template. They just have to execute it right and not make it too freaking microtransaction-y and all that stuff. I think it's NetEase that does it. I don't know. They don't have the best track record, so we'll have to see. Either way, though, I'm pumped about it, buddy. I just had to bring it up. And then, yeah, number one for me was Cap. Who is this Alex take?
You know exactly who it is. And this is what I'm going to say, okay?
Here it is.
Glenn Jones, I'm challenging you. Glasses are coming off. I am going to stare at the sun until Uatu gets a proper buff Because this card has languished for too long.
I honestly gave it a 50-50 shot if it was in Baku or Watu. I didn't know who you were going to pick. Also, goodbye, your eyesight. Watu, you're going to be looking like Watu. Your eyes will look like Watu's eyes once you look into the sun, dude. They're just crisp. They're done. Bro, I was playing Watu. I was playing the other day in my deck, and like, it's just so silly you can't see the second location. It's so silly, bro.
It's so ridiculous.
Like, bro, I was playing a game and I was like, oh, okay, there's like, you know, Tinker's Workshop, their location. And then the middle was like freaking Black Castle, whatever, the one where you get the plus one each turn. I'm like, dude, that would have been great. Watu, you couldn't see that. And then the classic, I see all, but he doesn't. What do they do with him? Just lets you see them all?
Yeah, he's a 145. Let's seize the right location. And he's still gets Sean Cheating. No one plays him.
Not good enough.
I don't want to pretend like I know the answer. Like, there's probably a reason why they don't want to reveal the middle location. Maybe they don't want locations during hot locations to be completely like frivolous or something, right? But then again, if you're adding Uatu to a 12 card deck and he's bad, even if you make him 1/1 and give all the locations, that's probably still terrible. He never sees play, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's a power problem. I like the idea of what he does. I don't like how he's implemented right now, though. He just feels awful all the way around. Like, he feels like a card that's unplayable.
I don't think they have a good fix for him, too. I guess if they... I don't know, man. If they let you see all three locations, I think that's decent. He'll have his very niche places. Yeah, Adam Warlock, I guess, is the other one outside of Cat for me. Try to make him work. He's horrible. There's no way to make him better. This is just... Honestly, at this point, scrap the concept. Like, I think you just try to make something new on him. I don't like it. It just sucks.
I'm so disappointed in you, Cozy. Didn't you do your research? Adam Warlock's been buffed twice already.
Yeah, I know. Watu, dude, I think Watu's got a couple buffs under his head, too, you know? But anyway, these are the worst cards that me and Alex both want to get love. Let's talk about the OTA review, though. Go to that real quick. I mean, we got to start with the return of Angela. My God. My God, it feels like we're home. Feels like we're home.
She's back 100%.
Like, good gosh, she was so bad at her last state. And it's cool, man, because this buffed a lot of cards, man. This buffed Bast. This buffed all the movement package, obviously. Ravona. I mean, you've got a good little mix in here. Sarah, even to a degree. And it's funny because 2/8 is really the mat, which is crazy, but that's really what you're getting her to if you're going crazy. But I just love her. She's just better in the game.
Imagine being excited about US Agent when you can be excited about Angela.
I know. Like, for honestly, free. Day one free card.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, this is a card that everyone has.
Like, yeah.
Literally, pretty much everyone has. And so, like, this is a beautiful buff. I'm so glad they brought it back because it's taken them a while to get here. They had to change Elsa to a 3-cost, which feels fine. It feels fine, right? I'm not, it's obviously not what it used to be, but at least it feels reasonable. It feels fair. And that archetype needs something. Like the Cyclops we were talking about before, it needs something. And maybe Angela is what you need because Kitty Pryde's back and forth doesn't do much. Hope Summers helps. Angela helps. Now you have all that added utility. Suddenly those decks make sense again and they can be playable.
Yeah. And again, it's the same with Captain Marvel. They're bringing these cards back. Like there's a deck I highlighted, Spider Control. And it was from like August after the Captain Marvel thing. And I got to play for 4 days. Because they kill Captain Marvel like shortly after that. And it was exactly what you think it is. The Angel package, Captain Marvel, all that good stuff. Right? But it's like, great. I got to play that. And it didn't feel overpowered. When I was playing it back then, I'm like, dude, I'm just sweeping people. Like, there's so many other ways to win now. And so it does. It feels like they can bring her back. And it'll be cool if they can revisit some other cards, right? Like this. That they could bring back to its original state. Maybe Black Bolt Stature, things like that.
It's funny because, like, I think that Black Bolt Stature often gets brought up about needing additional power. But let's not forget that when Black Bolt and Stature were literally staples of the meta felt awful when your cards were being discarded the entire time. But that's also kind of what's interesting about Black Bolt too, is that he was being offset by the fact you were often discarding rocks because of the way those decks were designed at the time around Darkhawk and etc. But now if you're not discarding rocks, you're discarding core pieces of your deck, things start to feel a little worse.
Yeah.
But I do like what you're saying, though. There are so many cards in Marvel Snack. Man, that is a great, like, kind of like side project for them. But there's so many cards in Marvel Snap that could use a little bit of love. And I feel like the development team is getting better at this. Like, we're seeing these small incremental improvements to cards that traditionally have not seen play. Yeah. They're getting some love again. But at the same time, I had this shower thought about Power Creep. And how, like, White Queen used to be a good card, power-wise. And then you have Cull Obsidian, now Angela at the 2-cost, and all these things happening. I wonder if, like, are the numbers just getting too big?
Well, they're raising them, right? I mean, like, look at, I mean, now this is like the car that nobody cares about, but Sabretooth, right? They brought him up to a 3.5. I don't think it's going to do much for his playability, but like, they brought him up because they realized like fives can start going up more. They can, three cusps can start going up more. Twos, they're close. I think they almost have the two bracket like refined enough. And then I think they're still working on five. But yeah, Crossbones to me, them doing Crossbones, that justice felt like, okay, at least they're discussing the power creep a bit more. There are still cards that we just talked about that definitely they need it, right? I'm not on the camp of like, some cards are going to suck. I don't know. I listen, you can have your Quicksilver, but like, I think there's some other ones outside of that. Meek, Sabretooth, it affected them, but not crazy. But Thanos, bro. I mean, how many times have we talked about him? I think this was it, man. I think this was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, Thanos got a huge hit. Like, and I suspect, and we don't know anything, but I feel like they're not done. Because based on what I saw with the change to the Time Stone and the change in how he's basically a massive Quicksilver now, it would almost indicate that maybe they have more plans with how they're going to adjust some of these stones or his general play style. Like, this OTA felt like the patch might have something to say about it too. Like, I don't quite think we have the full picture yet. And again, I know nothing. It was an instinct I had when I was reading the notes.
I mean, bro, sign me up if they change the stones to be like the Time Stone in aiding Thanos, right? So you've got like some other cards that you got, you know, with synergy, but the main goal is to be playing possibly the best card in Snap if you build it up, right? If you get to its stature, right? Of like, you know, the Soul Stone does this or whatever that might be. Man, like, how cool would it be if maybe he gets the effects of the stones on his gauntlet when they're all out, right? So like, he can push out the Soul Stones negative, whatever. I think that's a cool route to go to still make him feel iconic. But obviously at this point, like, we were just sick of the like, put cards in a Thanos deck, it's a good deck. I'm okay with this route. I think we're going to get negative things happening to him, but also positive. But yeah, so Thanos, massive change, guys. He's got the Quicksilver. He starts a new deck. That's mainly the OTA. We're doing okay on time. Let's go over to the last subject here. The biggest sleepers. Any other thing on the OTA review?
The only thing I wanted to mention quickly, I think we moved kind of fast over Sabretooth. Sabretooth, that might be a slept on change in the sense that it's very similar to Gladiator, where it actually helps. It's a two-pronged buff, where not only does it buff the power of Sabretooth, but theoretically Null. It's buffing Venom, it's buffing Null, yeah. It's buffing that entire package that's using power to destroy, or destroyed power is actually beneficial to the entire archetype.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, don't sleep on the actual extra power there, because it's a bit of a double dip. That's all I want to say.
He had his moment in the sun. When I covered the OTA, I was like, hey guys, the best time Sabretooth was used was when you were like this kind of all-in Null deck, right? You just, because you could keep killing him over and over and over and over. You just keep killing him, build it up, right? I don't know. It's just such a tight list, man. It's so, well, I mean, he might get that spot in there. I want to see how much his play rate buffs up.
Dude, I'm so upset with you. I'm giving you another shot to bring up Sabretooth Moon Girl. You missed your Moon Girl quota. Remember the Sabretooth Moon Girl death decks?
What is that? Dude, I think that was a different era, man. I mean, hey, do we just go Squirrel in there too? And we kill him with Killmonger.
Killmonger the Squirrels, get the death for free, play the Moon Girl, eat the Sabretooth, and just start throwing them down everywhere.
Bro, can you, if Snap even had like two more cards per deck, there could be some nasty. I wonder like what arc. I think Destroy would have to be towards the top.
Well, yeah, because it just has this limitless potential. Yeah. Just keep scaling, right?
Let's talk about the biggest sleepers at every cost, Alex. And as you guys know, we usually do favorites at every cost, but we got a couple comments where people wanted to know what cards we just think are getting slept on, right? So I would say they have to be like, on average, just not played enough, or they should be played more, or people think they suck. Either or is kind of what we're aiming for here, Alex. And I'm going to give it to you first for the one cost slot.
Better him. I think Spider-Ham is one of the most slept-on cards in Snap right now. Ironically, it hits Thanos every single time. He's sitting on the left side of the hand. I really like Spider-Ham a lot. It's obviously disproportionate, a better Conquest card, which we talk about a little bit every once in a while. But I think it's a great card. Gives you information about the opponent's deck. It disrupts their hand. I think it's good, man. And like, honestly, 1-1 feels weak, but its effect is worth it at times.
Dude, yeah. I've loved him at 1-1 since he's gotten there. I think Shadow King getting better too helps him out a ton, because Shadow King's a beautiful synergized card with him. You can just nuke that ham to zero whatever you kill on the pig side, and it's just, that's crazy. That's absolutely nuts. Like the pig, dude, I went Ant-Man. I feel like Ant-Man It's just not getting the respect he deserves. Dude, he's a 1-5. Very easy to accomplish. Ongoing, so it's kind of tough to get rid of that power stat. I think people should be putting Ant-Man in their decks more. I truly, outside of just the ongoing package, he's just a decently good statted card, and I think could work even with US Agent to some degree.
First of all, one of my favorite variants in the game, not only is Ant-Man stealing a cookie, but he's stealing my heart. But truthfully, honestly, a very good card. A very good card at 1-5. Easily disruptible, though. Not only would just Killmonger, but Polaris will do it. Anything that kind of moves cards around. I mean, Cannonball, Steggy, they'll mess up the Ant-Man location quite a bit. But this is one of the examples where, like, you know, it's a 1-5 that becomes a 1-7 with a Spectrum hit, right? You'd love to see it. It's a really good card.
An easy 1-5 at that. And people just often don't do the math. Two costs, I feel like there are 20 cards to pick.
Yeah, so if you want to talk about two costs, I think there's one. Okay, I'm kind of going on a limb here because the two costs I want to talk about is, I think, universally understood as being good, but I don't think people really appreciate just how good it is, and it's armor. So in a lot of the decks where Destroy kind of starts to pop off a little bit, like I'm playing some Evo, stuff like that, I cut Kyera. And I add armor because armor is not only defensive, but it's offensive depending on the meta. And if Destroy is 12% of the meta, having armor is not only a snap condition, but a complete disaster for your opponent. So I really like armor. I think that it is underappreciated for its offensive capabilities. I love the card.
Yeah, I do. I think that's a great pull. I think it's one of those classic, like, people know it's good, but they're not using it quite to its. And I think that's actually like the rhyme and rhythm of a lot of these two casts. Like they're just not utilized to the degree they should. We've talked enough about like Kraven, Shadow King, and those are ones that I think stood out before this recent patch. Bro, I think the same thing can be said for Quake. It's nutty to me that we don't play Quake near as much. I don't know about you, dude. I know since her buff, you have lost a game because your opponent has played her and you're like, oh my God, what a play. Can't even be mad about it. There should be more of these. No question about it.
100%. Actually, in a US Agent deck, if you have like a Sarah turn six play, US Agent for one cost, Quake for one cost, that is a hell of a lot of disruption, right? You can switch the locations, put US Agent on a specific lane, completely destroy their plan. I like Quake a lot. And it's one of those, you know what the problem with Quake is? We know it's good. We want to play it. We like playing it, but it's too easy to cut. And I think that's what's wrong.
It is. Yeah. And I think a lot of these, yeah, it's like, oh, I can make, it's like kind of the same as like Cable. Like I think Cable's like, I love Cable, dude. I love Cable. But when you look at the list, you're like, he's kind of in here for the extra spice, right? Unless you're building a synergized deck, right? Like, you always go for this, like, maximum synergy. And so, like, some of these independent cards, per se, it's like, that's where I feel like I love Baron, right? I think Baron's, we'll talk about him on your side. He's kind of an independent card in some ways. Like, he kind of does his thing. And so I think he might be that same vein eventually. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. Three costs, buddy.
Oh, for me, there's only one that needs to be talked about, and it's Rogue. I've been playing a lot of Silver Surfer lately, and I've been putting Rogue in my decks. No one respects Rogue. People will snap on me with Iron Man in locations, with, like, it doesn't matter. Miss Marvels, it does not matter what it is. No one expects you to Rogue their cards. No one. And when you do, it's one of the best feelings in the world. I cannot express how many cubes I've stolen with Rogue over the past month. This is by far the most slept on three cost in the game.
Love to see him, man. I feel like I always pick Negasonic. I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to pick Sauron. I think you had him on your list at a couple months back. Hey, gosh, just your monthly reminder not to forget about the card. Red Hulk does not have an ongoing effect. Okay, War Machine now, we do have duo synergy with potentially Ebony Maw. I think there's non-ongoing cards that are beautiful with Sauron. Shuri's certainly back. She's back doing fine. She's doing better than ever. Sauron deserves to be in that package a lot of the time as well. The Hope Summer Shuri is what is really over the top now, so that's where it can be tough. But I'm all for an either or as well. You know, if you get one, you play the other kind of thing. I think Sauron is still there.
It's so funny. We talked about it on a prior Snapchat. Sauron is the number one card in Snap that no one talks about, with the highest win rate, the highest cube rate. Everything about this card is an absolute banger. Like, it got nerfed. It used to be a 3-3.
Yeah.
And when it got nerfed to a 3-2, we were like, oh, really? Sauron's getting nerfed? Why? And it's like, because it's literally the best card in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think it is. You don't realize it is. It doesn't tilt you out the way, you know, Blob does, because Blob's effect is, look at this tower of power that just tooted on me or whatever. Eliath pisses you off for the same reason. Sauron just allows everything else to piss you off because everything else is so much better. You're not mad at Sauron. And so, like, yeah, this card's unreal.
And he's got the rare of, like, just the easiest snap condition. Like, there's as easy as it gets to know when to snap. Gotta love him. Four cost.
It's funny because you kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. It's Shuri, and I'm glad Shuri's making a comeback here. For the longest time, Shuri was being completely slept on. I started playing some Shuri over the last couple of weeks, you know, did some content on it, this and that. And it's just funny because, like, yes, the play pattern is very straightforward, but you know what's really straightforward about that play pattern? It steals cubes. It just wins cubes. And like people just, they're just like, oh, I'm against a Shuri. That's a massive Red Skull. They definitely have Taskmaster. I can't do anything. Right. Yeah. And I think that like at the end of the day, extremely vertical, strong, high power under armor. They can't Shang-Chi it. And you have the optionality of where you 50-50 Taskmasters. Too much. People will retreat. It's a very good four cubing deck.
Yeah. I think Hope Summer's changed it massively too. Just the either or there is insane. This card that I've got, man, I think is underplay. People know it's good, but I'm not seeing it in list, man, at all. And I don't know why. And that's Omega Red, man. Why are we playing him? Why are we playing him? It's a great card. It's a perfect substitute for Miss Marvel. But even more so, like, I loved him with Red Hulk because you're like, hey, you're not losing that lane. Wherever you play Red, you're not losing it. And oftentimes in Snap, speaking of these like vertical lane stuff, people are going all in on a couple lanes. And if you're able to beat out one of the lanes that they're aggressively going on and you've got Omega Red, that three power could be enough just to steal that other lane or help you on a control deck.
I love the call out. It's funny because like I was staring at Omega Red the other day thinking about like, I got to do something with Omega Red eventually. And I just didn't get around to it. Yeah. I feel like it's probably, I think you're right. This is probably one of the most slept on cards in Snap because the effect is good. This is pure power. It'll go across all locations. It'll go across negative zone. Does not matter. Does not care. It'll get it done. Probably. Yeah, I agree. I think this is probably the best call of the list so far.
Thanks, man. I was looking at him. I'm like, man, why don't we play this card? Five costs
for me is kind of interesting because like I've been like kind of going back and forth and like I kind of wanted to say Claw, right? I wanted to talk about Claw, but I actually am going to give you a different answer. And this is going to be one that's a little shocking. I want to talk about Annihilus for a second because you might think, Alex, we know Annihilus is good. Yes. But what's interesting about Annihilus from a meta share percentage, it is way, way, way lower than so many prominent archetypes, despite having win rates that exceed them, despite having cube rates that exceeds it. I think people understand that Annihilus is good, but I don't think they respect just how good this card actually is. And it dodged, it was supposed to, we had an inclination it was going to go to a 5-5. It goes from a 5-7 to a 5-6. So that's I'm grateful for that. This card is probably one of the single best cards in Snap, probably easily in the top five. And it does not get spoken about at all. And I think that's kind of wild to me. There's a pocket of players that really respect it. We know it's a good card, but I think it's not identified as being literally one of the best in the game.
He's the easiest card to combo with in the game. He has got one of the most clear cut, like even Angela, she's great. You got a lot of cards that go in that deck, man. Like you kind of can't cut too. You've got the Jeff, you got Nightcrawler potentially, you've got Spider-Man, and then it becomes a deck. Annihilus, put Sentry Annihilus, done. Do what you want. Do whatever you want from that standpoint. And that's so cool. And there's not a lot of decks like that. And I would agree. I would say if you are having a tough time, like if you're in like 60s, 70s, or you're a more casual player, just play Annihilus, guys. Like just like you're going to, this is your ticket. This is your ticket to infinite, man. I'm telling you, Alex, you're correct. Mine was more of like kind of like slept on per se. And that's Valkyrie. I think with Shadow King coming back with these giant over the top plays, I do think Valkyrie is one of those cards. It's not even, the problem is I'm going to shout this out and still not play it all that much, right? It's one of those, like, you know, it's good. You do have to kind of big brain a lot of things. Ant-Man got better. Angela's back. Those are insanely great synergized cards. I think Valkyrie does deserve more respect and it won't be long till more lists come out.
I feel like Valkyrie is a card that's similar to like Titania or that like, those types of cards that are challenging to play, so people will shy away from them a little bit. Phenomenal card. I do like it a lot.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up here as we go to the top of the hour. Six cost cards, and this one's tough because I think they're all doing pretty well. But Alex, what's your choice? I think you already know mine.
For me, the six cost card that I think is being slept on to a certain extent is Galactus, honestly. I think Galactus is way better than people are giving it credit for. I think that people are not seeing much Galactus. Seriously, if you don't believe me right now, get into a game of Snap. Don't put in Wolverine and stuff. Play Wave and see if they call you on the Galactus play. I'm telling you, people are seeing Wave and they're not thinking Galactus. That red flag, that alarm bell is not going off because the card does not have the meta prevalence that it used to. And I do think that, I think Galactus is being slept on. I think this is a really good card.
And what I like about him is if you have Shang-Chi and you have Null, or Null and Eliath, they're so screwed. Like, you, hey, you go first, great, I'll play this. Oh, you go second, great, I'll play this. It's so tough to beat it. Mine is gotta still be leader. I think this might be leader's best time to shine because of Red Hulk. I lost a game the other day because someone leadered my ass and I played down my Red Hulk. I'm like smiling ear to ear. I play my 30 power and it just cool, done. Match over. And it's maybe this is why, like, this is why leader exists or things like this. But yeah, Red Hulk was created by leader in the lore. Hey, maybe that's why he's got his goat, right? But yeah, I think leader definitely deserves to be more in control decks for sure. Ones that you're winning the game, you're winning the game, you get up to turn six and you just copy what they do.
I haven't played a leader deck in the longest time. Maybe that changes this weekend.
Give it a shot, man. Give it a shot.
Cozy, crazy week in Marvel Snap. Not one, but two cards came out. Completely different cards. I think pretty cool cards. A lot of different flavor here. A lot to discuss today on the Snapchat. So let's get started with Baron Zemo. Cozy, I'm going to give you the floor. What are your thoughts on Baron Zemo?
Yeah, to reiterate what you said, I love that we had Hope, Summers, and Pixie. Meta card, fun card. Kind of the same this week, right? And we start with the fun option, who's good too. You know, I think we both gave him a 3, maybe a 3.5 is what we kind of landed at. And that's probably about where he's going to land ultimately. But man, is he a ton of fun. And he's surprisingly like a bit more flexible than I thought he would be. He does average kind of the same stat line. But man, I've enjoyed my time with Baron and definitely like one of those I'm excited to get back to.
I really enjoy the mill archetype. That's what I liked about Baron. I like that milling is actually a thing. And I mean, I don't like when it's being done to me, full disclosure. I think it's infuriating. So I think finding a balance between mill being a good, comparable, like competitive deck versus mill being so annoying that everyone hates it is going to be a difficult balance. I do think the card is statted in a way that it's fun playing. I think pulling a card from their deck is fun. Generally speaking, people run good cards. I like it. I actually really like the card. It's been fun.
See, for me, I like Mill, but what I've enjoyed about him and where I put him immediately was, and we can talk about it in a sec, but I like when you're not all in on it, right? When you have a couple of cards that Mill, that's enough heat for me where I was like, oh, and I had like, I think 3 or 4 in the deck, but still it's like, when you go all in on like the delete their deck, it just oftentimes it's like you're kind of missing something in there. And I felt like he was really good combined with like a couple of other cards. And then you're able to put on that aggression and really kind of telegraph the game from there. So yeah, he's definitely cool. Every game's a little different. The sound effect of when they don't have something to take is hilarious with the trombone. Yeah, I love him.
It's actually something worth noting there. Marvel Snap's all about fun. Like, definitely, we love this game. I am not going to sleep on the effect. I think the effect adds a lot of flavor to the character, a lot of flavor to the card, and it makes it more fun. Like, just the same way Gladiator does, like, the little swear. I like those touches.
Yeah.
Those small touches, I think, are what, like, really separate Marvel Snap from other games. That feel, that interaction with the board, that, like, you're kind of playing with these characters. These aren't just cards. They're personified.
Yeah.
That's really important to me.
Yeah.
And I think that Baron, and, I mean, even Hope Summers, how, like, you hover and, like, she does, like, the flame things and stuff like that. That's really cool to me. And I think that the more that Marvel Snap does that, the better this game is, because it's just more engaging and more fun. And that's what it's setting out to do.
Yeah. I remember they were working on Conquest and we had like maybe 5 months where they didn't do the VFX on the cards. And I missed that because I do love like even Deadpool or whatever it might be. Like, each one is starting to get its own thing and it does. It feels right on time. Now there are a couple that are like rather not maybe annoying, but you're like, oh, okay, like let's go. But like Infinaut, man, like when he got his, it was fantastic. Baron, yeah. So Baron, going to like the decks that I played him in, really, man, you know, I did the mill thing, but loved him in the Patriot build, man. I thought he was so fun to have as this like, hey, you're already using Absorbing Man. He already kind of works with that deck. He kind of helps out Mockingbird as well. But he just kind of worked with the other cards. Gladiator, we ended up putting in there. And then I had Yondu, which I felt was interesting. But yeah, you combine that with the Dazzler and the Surfer. It's fun.
Yeah, and honestly, like there's so many different shells that it's working really well in. I really liked what you had done there because like again, Gladiator, you're milling, but you're putting a ton of power down. You're disrupting, but you're putting power down. Zemo's doing the same thing. But you're also, you have those like, those combo patterns that really give you the opportunity to steal a game. You also have snap conditions, right? Like Brewdob's Man and like, you know, Mockingbird. Like I really liked how that was designed and it really showcased the potential power of Baron. Cause even as a 3/3/5, like the one thing I found, tell me if this happened to you. I was playing these greedy decks where I'm like Yondu-ing Cable, Gladiator, and then I go to play Baron later and there's no cards to draw. And he just comes in by himself and says like, really? Nobody?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, to its point, like, it's like he just, putting him in archetypes that needed a little bit more of a boost is where it was fun. Like, maybe Dazzler doesn't need to be in every deck, but like, that Patriot deck was already having Surfer as this like kind of backup plan. And it's like, hey, I'll take another 3/5 with Gladiator, another 3/8. And then you keep that up. Like Maximus didn't work out quite how I liked it. There was a couple cards, but I did like, you know, I was doing like Black Widow with Maximus and trying stuff there. Baron, what I like about him the most is his whole kit. He does it himself. Like he can do his own thing, but then you can make that work in a lot of decks. I don't think he's going to be talked about 5 months from now, like as in this meta card, but he's a welcomed addition to the game.
I'm going to like counter that slightly to say that I think he's an important piece for a potential new archetype in Mill. Because without him, no one was talking about Mill, right? No one was. No one's playing those cards. So I mean, like, I think that we might be talking about him in 5 months. We don't know what cards are coming out in 5 months. And like Mill might be one or two releases away from being ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think being able, the opponent knowing what you got and all that, like they balanced it out well, to your point. I don't know if Snap will ever lean super heavy into Mill. I'd be surprised if we got another Mill card in a while, is my take. Like that, I think it took us how long to get this one almost, right? But it's at a good spot right now, even. I think it's in a fine spot of the balance between like annoying and fun, I guess.
No, you're right. It is in the right balance. Keep in mind, because it's like a whole new archetype, I absolutely think that it would be intelligent for Second Dinner to get some data as they can before throwing too many pieces at it, right? Like, think about how long it took for us to get X-23 for Destroy. Right. Think about how long it took for us to get the Black Order season for Discard. Discard was a deck, when they nerfed Chavez, Discard was dead, like completely dead. We got Black Knight, but Black Knight needed buffs and stuff like that. So like these incremental improvements to these archetypes, I think are super important, right? One thing I want to ask you about Baron Zemo is, do you think that this card is going to be one that becomes more relevant in the Infinity Conquest week?
Ooh, yeah, it depends. It depends on the decks that are doing well during that time. Again, I think he slots well into Surfer. I think he does pretty good into even Sarah decks. At like, you could almost make him work in there too for the value play. He's certainly better in Conquest. I mean, certainly better. I mean, that was evident when I played him. Very evident in that. Yes and no. I don't think it's going to be this major tick up, but yes, he'll get played more in Conquest Week, no question.
Okay, that's kind of what I figured as well. Just as a quick recap of statistics, by the way, currently based on Untappd statistics, Baron Zemo is running a 54% win rate. Keep in mind, this is the first week. Yeah, we do have some bot inflation there. But we also do have a 0.38 cube rate and 22% of the meta, which is a pretty large share. Now, this is a season pass card. We did see a significantly higher share in Hope Summers. So it would look as though general sentiment would be that Hope Summers is considered a stronger card than Baron Zemo. I would tend to agree with that. But I think that Baron is a great season pass release. You're adding a new potential archetype into people's hands, a card that's very novel, very unique. It can go in many different archetypes. It's not shoehorned into one in particular archetype, and it's not meta shattering. I think this is an excellent release. I think that Second Dinner nailed it.
If it's not a meta card, a fun card's the way to go. Like, Scar's cool, but he just wasn't fun or meta. So it was like this weird spot, right? Same with Sebastian Shaw a little bit, but we've seen now, you've got things like Hope Summers, really good card. You have Baron Zemo, a really fun card. And we've had other fun slash good cards. I think they found a good balance here.
No, absolutely. And so Baron, generally speaking, I think, you know, I like it a lot. Kind of, we'll say quick star rating, what you're feeling right now?
Yeah, exactly where I had him at, probably 3, 3.5.
All right, that takes us to Red Hulk here. And okay, by golly, Red Hulk. I got to say, Cozy, Red Hulk, it's something, man. It is something. It is, let's go stats first, okay? A 57% win rate. Okay, again, we had Baron at 54, just as a comparison. Cube rate 55 compared to Baron's 38. Percentage of the meta, Cozy, it's only been like 5 days. Take a guess where it's at.
Yep. The busted, 65.
65% of the meta.
I'm just kidding.
It's 32. Yeah, it's 32%, which is like higher than Shang-Chi.
For a card that
like
you have
it's
to
literally
get,
like yeah. on pace of Shang-Chi. So if you feel like you're getting Shang-Chi every game, you're going to get Red Hulk every game, man. Like, it is everywhere. Also, evidence that the Spotlight Cash system providing getting access to cards, right? But like, honestly, this card is just huge. It's a chunky boy cozy, and it's getting chunkier than even some of the blobs. Now, of course, you had like your 100 power blob in your video. I still remember that one, but this guy is huge.
Would you call him a 4-star card, or what would you call him on the ranking over there?
Oh, this feels like a leading question that I'm scared to answer.
Give me the 0.5s. It was more of you. I think last week you said he was a 4-star, and like, you know, that's fine. I just, because he was just a big power card, but to the point of it's just, like, that works. We saw blob on that first week, and like, truly, what I don't understand about Red Hulk, he just had to flame you a little bit there. Would you give him a 5-star now, though? Is it safe to say he's a 5-star card?
You know what?
Are you kidding?
I have arguments against it. I have arguments against it.
What's a 5-star card? I want to know what's a 5-star card to Alex Koch. I would love to, besides, you know, Black Swan.
Okay. Now Cozy's, where's my back hurts from all the stabbing.
You fueled me with the 0.5s. All right. You got,
okay. I'm shooting my shot here. Okay. Here's why I still think he's a 4-star card. I'm going to get roasted so hard here because I'm now doubling down. Okay, listen. He gets super chonky. I've seen him over 30. This card is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. However, I think that when push comes to shove and you're in Infinity Conquest or you're in high-ranked Infinite or whatever it is, the fact that you can watch this card prop up, I think it detracts from its cube rate. I think you cannot catch people by surprise. When you have an Evo Hulk and it's like an 18 or a 20, I guarantee you only the absolute top tier players have been keeping track of your floated energy. A lot of players will be like, oh man, that just came down as an 18. I was not expecting that. I was in the top 1,000. And I'm telling you, I got hit with Hulk. So I was like, I didn't realize they skipped that many times. Right. And so like when it's ticking up, not only do they know that you have it, right, which makes Shang-Chi a little more of a reliable play for your opponent, but I think their retreat situation is much more clear. They know you have it. They know where it might be going. And so I think that ultimately will pull some cube rate off it. But oh my God, if we're talking power, this thing is as 5-star as it gets.
I mean, I think you're explaining the con of them for sure. If Baron is almost a 4, even putting Red Hulk in the same category is disrespectful to the card.
That's fair. It's, you're right. No, I do admit you're right.
If this isn't a 5, I don't know what is. And I'm not afraid. You guys can roast me for giving it a 5 last week and now this week. What is at this point? I don't know how in testing they were like, 6'10". I don't think 6'10's enough. I just don't I have no idea.
The one power buff?
Yeah, like why? Like I just don't like we look at the US agent and they're like, they gave him a power buff. Probably because he sucked. Probably gonna give him another one. This guy, they were like, throw it on there. Just put another one. It just blew my mind that this card came out the way he was. I'm fine with having like a mega Titan card every now and then. To your point, yes, the biggest con about him is you see him rise up, and in general ladder, that can hurt you. I still think in Conquest, it's like, okay, you're still going to win. And any competent player playing against high Evo Hulk knows they look at the lanes and like, odds are they have Hulk. I should leave, right? Like it takes that out of it. I understand that. But and not saying like you're not a competent player if you don't feel that way. I like the mechanic of letting them see it. It's cool. I think it's very needed for the card, but there's just no, I just don't see a world. This doesn't get nerfed. I don't see a world.
Yeah, it definitely gets nerfed at some point for sure. And I think that's correct. It's for the record. I'm just going to go on record here. Koji's correct. This is a 5-star card. However, what I will say though, is that chance of it getting nerfed relatively high, but the cube rate thing kind of holds me back. It really does. But like, It feels like, why would you play Blob when you can play this?
Why would you?
And I like the gameplay interactions.
I think people are going to get sick of this card in a week and a half, dude. You could put this in any single deck. Yeah, take any archetype and you put Red Hulk in there. Okay, I can name them literally like Patriot. You can do Silky Smooth. You can do Loki. It doesn't matter. Actually, I think that's like, if you look at it right now, Red Hulk as that last card is his own win condition, right? And so most decks need a win condition. And then they have other ways to get other win conditions. Red Hulk single-handedly has his own. The Blob needs bigger cards in there, so he isn't as versatile. This card, even if you're seeing him grow, you can't always fill out that energy. And so that's what makes him so crazy. And I think it limits deck design. And ultimately, that's why I think they do take him back. They've got a lot of knobs, though, to twist, bro. They can do the 11 power. They can do the +3 power each turn, not +4. still would be stupid good. I don't know which one they do, but yeah, it's tough.
You could even make him like, if he's a 6-12 that gains plus two every time or plus three every time, like, you're right, there's a ton of dials here, and I think they'll probably ultimately have to use them. One thing I will say that I really like about it is, it's kind of funny, I was talking about how like, oh, the cube rate of the reveal in the hand. I think it's actually really cool though that it reveals in the hand, because when I see that happen to my opponent, my planning as like the player who's might have Red Hulk slammed on in their face, the game changes. The way I curve changes. Like, for instance, there are times where I'm playing Zabu on turn three, where it's like, you know, it's still probably the best place where I can double up on turn six with my four costs. But if there's a Red Hulk there, I think twice about it. Yeah. Because I'm like, maybe I just curve out. Maybe I just play that rock slide. Maybe I just play the whatever. I don't play Zabu, right? I don't eat that. I have to eat the energy or else that Red Hulk's going to just become a problem. I really like that element. And at the same time, I could only imagine what social media would look like if this card was not showing in people's hands and it just came down as like a 30-something power card on turn six by surprise. It's like, hey guys, check this out.
Right. Like, I think there are cards that we have seen in data mines and we're like, man, that's going to be good. And I think this is what's tough about Snap. Like, I whiffed. I still think I like War Machine. I'm going to grab that. But like, to the critics, I whiffed on War Machine a bit. Fair enough. He looked like he was going to be absolute insanity, right? Mobius, we looked at, okay? We knew he was going to be stupid. In fact, he got nerfed to the sun, then came back, still stupid. Red Hulk, we looked at, is like, how is this not going to be a stupid card? Every now and then, there's a card that's just obviously really, really good. And it's typically the simple ones. The more simple, the Cole Obsidians. The Super Giants are tough to rank. The Red Hulks, power. Like, power, yeah. power. And I think it's, they did it lore accurate. They did a good job with it. I don't know how many of these we'll get, you know what I mean? But this is a cool one.
It's kind of funny you talk about like ranking accuracy and stuff like that. Like, we've had our hits, we've had our misses. The other day, someone linked to me a Reddit comment that was like one of the most ruthless. Okay, listen to this. For those of you that understand the financial markets, you'll totally get this. Someone referred to me as the Jim Cramer of Marvel Snap. And I was like, that is the most offensive thing anyone's ever said to me. Okay. Like, there are literally like people that have these like funds where they do called the inverse Kramer, where they'll do like, if he says buy a stock, they'll do the opposite. They'll sell it. Or if they say, if he's like, sell the stock, the company sucks, they'll buy it. Cause everything he says is ultimately wrong. So I'm apparently the Jim Cramer of Marvel Snap.
It is a, we don't speak up on it enough. Like, first of all, we're making decisions. We're first in the Snapchat. We're just like, we're not even playing the cards. We're just whiffing off of like what we think, right? And that's hard to do. Then you play it and you have one playtesting day, which like, this isn't the case, but let's say you had Martyr and let's say you just kept winning. Like, you just won no matter what deck you played. Sometimes the stars align. You're not going to think it's a bad card. You're just not, right? And so it's tough and you have to get that decision out there. And then you also have to like, well, what are they going to think? So do you take the decision down? You got to go with your gut on it. And every now and then, you're going to whiff. I think both of us have played enough Snap where we can generally tell if a card's going to be good in the future. And we both try our best. There's a little bit of a backup because of Sunken Fallacy. People have to spin to get these cards in a way. Red Hulk, though, he's the five of the month. And I think the sad part is this is the best card of the month. It only goes
down.
Can
I do something, Cozy? I need to do something. Okay, so just to completely just cement the irony of me giving this a four-cost card, can I flex for a second? Can I have your permission to flex for a second?
Yeah.
The current number one win rate deck in Marvel Snap.
Well, let me guess. Is it an archetype with Red Hulk in it? What is it?
It has Red Hulk in it. It's my deck that I used with Captain Marvel. I'll read the deck out. Okay. It's Kitty Pryde, Nightcrawler, Angela, Kraven, Jeff, Silk, Elsa Bloodstone, Spider-Man, Shang-Chi, Captain Marvel, Vision, and Red Hulk.
Bro,
Cozy. It's a five-star card. I was wrong.
This is my August deck that I brought back from August. Same exact thing. And I love it because it's pretty similar. You have Red Hulk.
We're like two cards off.
Dude, and what's funny is in the video,
we have the same idea.
The video's already out. It's out by the time this goes out. This spot, literally, I was like, play Red Hulk. He's going to be better. But I had Magneto in here because of Storm. This was the deck that I played back in August that they took it away once Captain Marvel went down. It was terrible again. I love what you're doing there because it's what we just said, right? It's congrats, by the way. It's just a good archetype. Okay. Good archetype plus Red Hulk. That's what it is. I mean, it is, but this one, you get the flexibility of it. And that's what I think is really cool. And in the video that I made, I pretty much just talked about how your Angela lane is one win condition. Okay. And then if you just get Red Hulk, you know how hard it is for them to catch up to that? It's so hard, man. Plus you have Captain Marvel. Plus you have Kraven building up the power. Plus you have, in my version, Storm and Magneto, so you can shut down lanes early. Or the tech card with Shang-Chi. It's so hard to beat these, man.
Absolutely. You're right. And I look forward to that video. One thing I will say, I felt confident doing the flex on Cozy because the week prior, Cozy, your Black Knight deck with War Machine was actually by far the top performing War Machine deck. Even in Infinity Conquest, it was like one of the absolute top performers.
Oh, bro. That's why I loved him. That's why day one and two, I'm like, this is a crack card. And then I was like, he's pretty good at Black Knight. And even, you know what? It was funny. I was trying to make him work in this deck, the one I just showed you. But I'm like, that was the problem. I think we talked about this on my side where Annihilus is great. He only needs a couple of cards. I love Angela. She needs a lot, kind of. You just want to put it so much. And so, like, I couldn't lean too much into the control synergy there. And maybe that's, like, ultimately his issue. But, yeah, Red Hulk, dude, I give you guys warning. I think if you want to play him now. I don't think they're going to adjust him this week. Then we have another 2 weeks till no TA. So that means you got about 3 weeks. But just know you're probably renting where he's at now. I still think he'll be good. They're not going to kill him. But this good, I don't know how long.
I mean, but Shang-Chi exists for a reason, right?
So. Yeah.
You just add him to your deck and just be the Dragon Punch. Who Dragon Punches? Is it? Oh, Falcon Punch.
Oh, dude, Captain Falcon. Oh, yeah, dude. But and on that, though, it made Shang-Chi even more essential. Doesn't that kind of suck? We were almost getting away from it a little bit. Dude, I was playing him in Shuri. That was my day one build. What was your day one build with Red Hulk?
Red Hulk, my day one build was I tried to do like a stats-based deck with Taskmaster and Supergiant. It was a disaster. It was a disaster.
The Taskmaster could the Shuri. Did you do Shuri in there with Hope Simmers?
No, I didn't do Shuri. It was like Evo Taskmaster Supergiant.
Oh, okay.
It was like I called it the red and green because I thought it was cool and it worked. But the problem was like I had this amazing skill of putting Supergiant at the bottom of my deck, which made Taskmaster very awkward. And then like it had its moments. It was not bad. Taskmaster behind Supergiant is like an incredible combo.
Yeah.
Like disgusting. But you need the stars to align a little more than I like.
Yeah, him and Shuri is funny, man. I saw some silly, silly numbers there. Like, oh man, he's got a lot of. I mean, again, he's as flexible as it comes. You could really build an archetype you like and throw in the Red Hulk in there. And like even Loki, man. Like Loki has no business playing Red Hulk, and he's just like the best Loki's decks have Red Hulk in there. So it's funny to see that as a card, and I think that's pretty telling sign for it. But yeah, anyway, good card. I think we could both say that, you know, he's 5-star confidently and or 4.5 or 4. Strong 4.
He's a 5. He's a 5, Cozy. You're right. I missed it on this one.
Strong,
he's a 5.
Strong 5 or weak 5?
He's a pretty strong 5.
I just messed with you. All right. Is he the new villain of Snap? Do you think he'll be the new villain?
I love that transition because I have him written as number 1. As the number one villain of the current Marvel Snap, but like I think it's a perfect transition. He is definitely not a villain yet because he's too new. You haven't had your cheeks clapped quite hard enough by Red Hulk. Not only does he clap the cheeks hard,
you don't want
but it's the frequency of which the cheeks are being clapped.
You don't want your cheeks clapped by this guy, dude. Wolf.
Look how big his hands are.
We are talking, by the way, guys. It is late when we're filming this one, and I'm about to go on my vacation. Alex, it's like at least, I don't know, like 1 a.m., We're loosey-goosey this time around, if you guys can't tell.
Serious.
Yeah, I think so. Do you think, what's the number one villain right now? I think Hulk will be that by next week. But what is it outside of him?
I think Thanos was, right? Thanos and I'm going to be interested in seeing, we don't have the patch information, like full disclosure. I'd be interested to see how they changed Thanos in this patch. I think they're not done, as I mentioned prior. Definitely, like, enemy number one. The changes that we see now with him starting in the hand are significant enough that, like, that might change. And I think that second dinner, it was right to identify that something had to happen with Thanos. He can't just occupy the top of the meta all the time. We do want him to be relevant, of course, but Thanos was definitely one of the major villains of Snap.
Yeah, I think Eliath for a lot of people. I think a lot of people hate Eliath. And I he's a card, like, you're not going to feel good feelings after you get Eliath played on you. Like, it's not GG, you know, like, it's so much so, like, I was even making the deck with Baron. And I'm like, you know what? Eliath is the best card to put here. I'll just go with Dr. Doom. It's a good second. It's a good second. But I did that just to not play more Eliath. That obviously is a good card. But yeah, dude, I think Eliath might be towards the number one spot right now.
Yeah, he's still really high. And I think it's because, like, again, it's frustrating in Marvel Snap where you have a card where like you can know with 100% certainty you're going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's situations where like, I just Eliath, I don't know why they're staying here. And they go and you're like, wow. And you feel bad for them. You feel bad for them. Like that's the perfect Iceman like emo, right? It's like, oh, like that was nasty, right? I actually don't think that Eliath's in his final form yet. I don't think that this is the permanent solution for Eliath because like it kind of ruins Invisible Woman. I think it's impacting cards in ways that shouldn't be. But to think that it used to be a 6/5 that just deleted the entire turn. Like there's some moments where like I have these shower thoughts and like, why didn't I just play that card until I blacked out?
Bro,
like honestly,
I say that with so many. I know this time with Red Hulk, I'm like, I'm playing him because I didn't play Loki enough. I didn't play him enough. Like, yeah, no, I feel you there.
Arrow.
Yeah. Oh man. Hey, don't come on. It's too late.
OG Arrow. Do you remember those days, Cozy? I know you remember those days.
I'm getting hot. I'm getting sweaty over here. Can we move to the next villain?
We can. I have a villain to talk about. And it has a similar play meta share of Eliath. Eliath holding an 18% meta share. Also 18% is Mockingbird. Mockingbird occupies an 18% win rate here. Not win rate, sorry. Yeah, that would be really bad. 18% meta share, and partially because of Thanos. Like, let's be honest, because Thanos really propelled it. And we talked about in our prior review of Mockingbird. What's frustrating for me is that Mockingbird was so good elsewhere. It was so good in Patriot. It was so good in Zoo. The fact that it made Thanos even better, and that's where it was being seen all the time, I think it made this beautiful card like get a negative reputation it didn't deserve.
Yeah, I'd be surprised how long she lasts as a 5/9 too. I think she could go down to 5/8 potentially. I don't think they'll make it like a 6 cost. I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I agree. I think Thanos did that for a couple cards. I think, you know, made them, and people hate them more because they're in there rather than just like existing, which happened at the right time. Like Red Hulk, if Thanos never changed, we'd go right back to having the same thing. Yeah, we'd have the same exact thing there. But yeah, I think Mockingbird, do you have like a personal villain? Like, who's Alex's villain?
Like, the thing that I hate playing against
the
most?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, as of recent, anything?
Oh, man, I gotta think about that. Like, not really. I try not to tilt. Like, Marvel Snap is one of the games that, like, it feels really hard to tilt in. Like, I've tilted before, but generally speaking, like,
yeah,
it feels so fun to play. You just go next. It's not a big deal. To think about the cards that tilt me, I would have to say, for a while, it was Galactus because it was so uninteractive. Like, the original OG Galactus was really frustrating. But to some degree, I feel like Eliath might be it. Not because I don't like the card or I hate the card or anything like that. I don't like how final the turns feel. I don't like when I feel like I could catch up and then Eliath is just like, I can't play the turn out because, well, he's winning two lanes. So
he's the villain.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
There's some great moments that could happen in the game that get just kind of squished. They don't exist. They're not allowed to exist because Eliath exists.
There's a card that I just played a lot of, right? So it's funny to come back on it, but I'm telling you, when I play against it and why I made the deck with it, it might be this. This might be my villain. This is a POS card, man. This card bugs me, but I also like, I love it and I get it. It's a combo card. You have to have things go. You know what I mean? But like today, man, I won with the deck with spider control as I call it, because this guy played this card. He got the pop off. You know what I mean? You get the snap. You're like, I'm staying. Then he blazed the Infinite. You're like, okay. Then he has that. And you're like, okay, hold on. I stormed a lane. I won that one. That was already done. He plays his Ebony. He's like, it's done. I Magnetoed this card. That was the only way that I can even think of to deal with this. And then I Magnetoed it into the Infinite lane. Like I blew my, I'm like, this Magneto lost his lane. But that's the only way to deal with Ebony Blade.
Audio listeners in shambles. You didn't say the name of the card for like 2 minutes.
Ebony Blade. Like, Ebony Blade.
You said Ebony once very fast. But like I had said, hey, we played a game. If you were someone that could figure out what card Cozy Snap was talking about, then you're one of the blessed few. Yeah, you're right though. That card, it's crazy to think that Black Knight came out good. Like he was a good card. People are like, yeah, this card's good. It ended up with like a 53% win rate, which no one really wants to commit to.
Yeah.
They buff the Ebony Blade and then it becomes one of the absolute top tier decks, but still fair. I actually like the decks. Like I do. Yeah. I do like them. I don't think they're overpowering, but yeah, Ebony Blade can be extremely frustrating because of course there's Death's Domain when they have Black Knight. It's always that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something like that. Yeah. It's like my hero and villain at the same time, but yeah. Definitely a lot of villains to be you know, coming out with Red Hulk probably around the corner.
Cozy for me, Cable. I think Cable's going to be an emerging villain as Baron Zemo gains in popularity. The mill effects start happening more often, and we would be remiss not to mention, because if I, hey, we could bait engagement on the YouTube video if we want by not bringing up Shang-Chi. Do we bring up Shang-Chi or not? Do we leave it?
I feel like Shang-Chi is just like Black Knight, where he's like, he's your hero and villain. Like, no one hates him because they love
Vegeta.
Him.
He's Vegeta.
They needed him. Yeah, dude, kind of, pretty much. I mean, like, you have to love him, but then you hate him. It's just every time, and it feels like when you hate him the most is like Monster Island pops up and you have Shang-Chi in their deck. You know they've got Shang-Chi in their deck. You don't get your Shang-Chi. And what happens to your side? Hunted. That monster just goes right to hell. That's when you probably hate him the most.
I agree, absolutely. But I was thinking about this. This is one of those moments I was zoning out a little bit. I don't remember anything you said. But what I will say is that, like, okay, so you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, right?
Yeah.
You love Vegeta?
Is water wet?
So there's this really iconic moment that I will never forget, that I absolutely love. One of my favorite scenes in all of shows. It's when Vegeta is powering his final flash against Cell.
Oh, yeah.
And Trunks is like, you're going to destroy the whole planet, father, right? You got to stop it. And he just does. And he just blasts the whole planet. And like those church bells are ringing and the whole planet just gets. Oh, man. Tell me that's not one of the absolute best scenes. I love it. I can watch that chills. On a regular basis.
Got some chills right now. And the whole Cell saga. Ooh, yeah, it's good. It's good. That's a man. Vegeta's got a couple moments like that. Where you're just like, he's up there with like a core list of a few. As my favorite arcs, like, you know,
yeah,
of all.
Has to be. Like, just amazing arc altogether. And like, I don't know. If you don't know anything about Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z, just know that Vegeta's the absolute best. And I actually haven't watched GT yet or any of the other ones or Dragon Ball. There's a new one. Super? Is it Dragon Ball Super?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Stuck to the old ones for now, but one of these days when I retire from YouTube.
All right. And we got a couple mailbag questions, and hopefully there's no questions about Dragon Ball Z in there. I don't think there are because, well, there's not, spoiler alert, but let's talk about a couple things. Now, this one's not even a question. It's just a comment. We talked about the signing last week and the cards that we would sign, and someone, and the name by Ryan L. Fadden, did mention that Alex should 100% sign for Jeff. He's been a day one Church of Jeff disciple, and Alex has to help the little guy out. Hard to sign when you got flippers. And fins.
Is that just a call out?
It's not even a question. I just thought I would say that apparently I should be signing for Jeff because my options were what? Howard the Duck and what garbage did you suggest?
I'm tired enough where I was like waiting for the question. I was like, man, did I miss the, was it something about the flippers?
You're tuning out now? I'm tuning out when you're talking. Now you're tuning out when I'm talking.
Chavez.
Ah, that's right. Chavez was a good call too, though. But Jeff, okay.
You've had a lot of eras, bro. You've had your Devil Dinosaur era. You had your Chavez, your Captain Marvel, Jeff. You hated Thanos for all that. You liked Thanos. You've had some eras.
Okay, so you just 100% an Arrow. You've been a committed man. So you're saying that I'm a what's the
I've
word?
I've got a couple. I've had a few eras, but yeah, I still think Chavez with you. Like I always think Chavez with you, just because like you're. Yeah, I double down on Chavez.
And our next question comes from Katrin, and it reads, as a true Spider-Man 2099 believer, I believe that the one thing that he needs to be competitive is to remove the first time condition. For such a high-cost card, why not let him have multiple triggers?
2099. I'm just not. I'm putting in pretty much any other card. To have multiple triggers, I think they talked about it. It's the same with, like, Hercules. Hercules doesn't have multiple either. I think once you give him to one, you get a little dangerous. I mean, you would have to lower the stats significantly if you gave him that. He'd be cool, though. I think it'd be really fun to have him as like this kind of gambity card where like, you don't know what card you're going to hit, and he's like really bad statted, but you're able to do that. Maybe make him like, maybe even take him down to a three cost again, and then, or not again, but take him down to a three cost and give him low stats, but allow him to ping pong all over.
What if he was like a mobile version of Kingpin where he debuffed the cards as he moved?
Yeah, it could work too.
Yeah. Okay, cool. There's an idea there. And the next question comes from the D Knight, and it reads, this was a quick one. Is there any concern for cards not having an effect that's indicative of the character that it encapsulates?
Yes. We talked about it with Captain America a little bit, where we were saying how like it just doesn't feel right. Like I get it. He's like helping the team out, right? But it just doesn't feel right. I mean, I think we've answered this before, and I feel like I always go back to this. I feel like Doctor Strange just always doesn't feel correct. I get the portals thing. I just, to me, he never feels right. I don't know. I'd like him to be different.
Like, it feels like Doctor Strange should have Kang's ability, except not crap.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Something like that.
All right, our next question comes from that guy, and it reads, what do you think would improve the new player experience? I'm about halfway through Pool 3, and it can be very rough as I'm missing one or more key cards from several archetypes and makes me feel less efficient than most of my opponents.
Second Inner knows exactly what cards are the best in the deck, and go ahead and highlight those in the store as a little package. You can get Venom, Null, and Death as one little thing for X amount or whatever that might be. Or, like, not even that. Like, you guarantee your next three openings are those cards, and you get to pick one of those a month. Whatever that is, that's the ticket.
Yeah, so less for you bundles and more good bundles that actually help players, like, succeed.
Or not even a bundle, but a feature to, like, yeah, pick your path, choose your adventure, destroy, discard, whatever.
Oh, that's a cool idea. Imagine the new player experience had, like, a comic book that you choose your path and then, like, you unlock cards and stuff. Now I'm just developing a new game at this point, but actually, didn't DC Duel Force do that rip?
No, I don't know. They're bad now.
Anyways, the last question, because Cozy and I, we have to hit the hay before we both black out on camera, and it reads, what are your top three tips for climbing the ladder quickly? I got tips.
Give me your tips.
Okay, I would play a consistent deck. I would not just kind of flip around between different archetypes because you get frustrated with, like, bad variants, you start losing. Play one deck that you're confident in. Learn the snap cadence for that deck. Learn the retreat cadences for that deck. And ultimately, one of the key ways of ranking up quickly, and this is the thing that I feel like often does not get said, it's playing a lot of Marvel Snap. The idea of being able to know through experience what your opponent may be playing. The capability of you being able to, like, infer that, oh, they have a Zabu on the board. Good chance they have Shang-Chi. Those types of experiential kind of learnings will help you make better decisions with your snaps and your retreats. They'll give you more opportunities to, like, not lose 8 cubes when you're like, oh, I'm losing 2 locations. I think Goliath exists still, right? Experience is, like, legitimately one of the greatest things you can acquire in Marvel Snap. So, to answer your question very specifically, don't worry about laddering quickly. Take it slow. And the slower you take it and the more experience you build, you'll eventually start just laddering faster.
What he said, my eyes burn. Yeah, I think that, and also just, like, if you don't play a lot of Snap, right? It's like, you can't expect to be really good, right? So, like, people will play it in, like, 10 minutes and snap, and, like, oh, I'm not infinite. Why am I not infinite? It's like, you're not playing the game. I feel like I don't know what I'm saying right now.
I can't get over the fact that I gave, like, an extremely articulate answer to the question, and your response was what he said. My eyes burn. That's just Cozy. There's only one solution for the eyes burning, my man, and that is the solar eclipse goggles. These aren't goggles, they're shades. Thank you guys so much for listening.
I thank you guys so much for hanging out this week. Remember, I will be away. Go check out Alex's content. All right, guys, have a good one. Have a great one. Happy snapping.